Vin lay on her stomach, arms folded, head resting on them as she studied a sheet of paper on the floor in front of her. Considering the last few days of chaos, it was surprising to her that she found returning to her studies to be a relief. A small one, however, for her studies held their own problems.
The deepness has returned. Even if the mists only kill infrequently, they've begun to turn hostile again. That means the Hero of Ages needs to come again, too. Doesn't it?
Did she honestly think that might be her? It sounded ridiculous when she considered it. Yet she heard the thumping in her head, saw the spirit in the mists. And what of that night, over a year gone, when she'd confronted the Lord Ruler? That night when somehow she'd drawn the mists into herself, burning them as if they were metal.
That's not enough. One freak event, one I've never been able to replicate, doesn't mean I'm some mythological savior.
She didn't even really know most of the prophecies about the hero. The logbook mentioned that he was supposed to come from humble origins, but that pretty much described every Ska in the Final Empire. He was supposed to have hidden royal bloodlines, but that made every half-breed in the city a candidate. In fact, she'd be willing to bet that most Ska had one or another hidden nobleman progenitor. She shook her head.
Mistress?
Orisar turned. He stood on a chair, his forepaws up against the window as he looked out at the city.
Prophecies, legends, foretellings, what's the point? Why did the Terrace even believe in these things? Shouldn't a religion teach something practical?
Orisar settled down on his haunches upon the chair.
What would be more practical than gaining knowledge of the future?
If these actually said something useful, I'd agree. But even the logbook acknowledges that the Terrace prophecies could be understood many different ways. What good are promises that could be interpreted so liberally?
Do not dismiss someone's beliefs because you do not understand them, mistress.
You sound like Sazed. A part of me is tempted to think that all these prophecies and legends were devised by priests who wanted to make a living.
Only a part of you?
The part that grew up on the streets? The part that always expects a scam.
Prophecies do not have to be a scam, mistress, or even really a promise of the future. They can simply be an expression of hope.
What do you know of such things?
Vin set aside her sheet.
Nothing, of course, mistress.
Vin turned toward the dog.
I'm sorry, Orisar. I didn't mean... Well, I've just been feeling distracted lately.
You need not apologize to me, mistress. I am only Kandra.
Still a person, if one with dog breath.
You chose these bones for me, mistress. You must deal with the consequences.
The bones might have something to do with it. But I don't think that carrion you eat is helping. Honestly, we have to get you some mint leaves to chew.
And you don't think a dog with sweet breath would attract attention?
Only from anyone you happen to kiss in the near future.
Vin returned her stacks of paper to her desk. Orisar turned back to study the city.
Is the procession finished yet?
Yes, mistress. It is difficult to see, even from the height. But it does look like Lord Sid has finished moving in. He certainly did bring a lot of carts.
He is Alrian's father. Despite how much that girl complains about accommodations in the army, I'd bet that Set likes to travel in comfort.
Orisar nodded. Vin turned, leaning against the desk, watching him and thinking of what he'd said earlier.
The Kandra have a religion, don't they?
Orisar turned sharply. That was enough of a confirmation.
Do the keepers know of it?
Orisar stood on his hind legs, paws against the windowsill.
I should not have spoken.
You needn't be afraid. I won't give away your secret. But I don't see why it has to be a secret anymore.
It is a Kandra thing, mistress. It wouldn't be of any interest to anyone else.
Of course it would. Don't you see, Orisar? The keepers believe that the last independent religion was destroyed by the Lord Ruler centuries ago. If the Kandra managed to keep one, that suggests that the Lord Ruler's theological control of the Final Empire wasn't absolute. That has to mean something.
Orisar paused, cocking his head as if he hadn't considered such things.
His theological control wasn't absolute? Lord Ruler, I'm starting to sound like Sazed and Elend. I've been studying too much lately.
Regardless, mistress, I'd rather you didn't mention this to your keeper friends. They would probably begin asking, discomforting questions.
They're like that. What is it your people have prophecies about anyway?
I don't think you want to know, Mistress.
They talk about overthrowing us, don't they?
Orisir sat down, and she could almost see a flush on his canine face.
My people have dealt with the contract for a great long time, Mistress. I know it is difficult for you to understand why we would live under this burden, but we find it necessary. Yet we do dream of a day when it may not be.
When all the humans are subject to you?
Orisir looked away.
When they're all dead, actually.
Wow.
The prophecies are not literal, Mistress. They're metaphors, expressions of hope. Or at least, that is how I have always seen them. Perhaps your Terrace prophecies are the same. Expressions of a belief that if the people were in danger, their gods would send a hero to protect them. In this case, the vagueness would be intentional and rational. The prophecies were never meant to mean someone specific, but more to speak of a general feeling, a general hope.
If the prophecies weren't specific, why could only she sense the drumming beats?
Stop it. You're jumping to conclusions. All the humans dead. How do we die off? The Chondra kill us?
Of course not. We honor our contract, even in religion. The stories say that you'll kill yourselves off. You're of ruin, after all, while the Chondra are of preservation. You're actually supposed to destroy the world, I believe, using the Kolas as your pawns.
You actually sound sorry for them.
The Chondra actually tend to think well of the Kolas, Mistress. There is a bond between us. We both understand what it is to be slaves. We both are outsiders to the culture of the Final Empire. We both...
What?
Might I speak no further? I have said too much already. You put me off balance, Mistress.
We all need secrets. Though there's one I still need to figure out.
Orisir hopped down from his chair, joining her as she strode out the door. There was still a spy somewhere in the palace. She'd been forced to ignore that fact for far too long. Elend looked deeply into the well. The dark pit, wide enough to accommodate the comings and goings of numerous ska, seemed a large mouth opening up. Stone lips spread and preparing to swallow him down. Elend glanced to the side, where Ham stood speaking with a group of healers.
We first noticed when so many people came to us complaining of diarrhea and abdominal pains. The symptoms were unusually strong, my lord. We've already lost several to the malady.
Ham glanced at Elend, frowning.
Everyone who grew sick lived in this area, and drew their water from this well or another in the next square.
Have you brought this to the attention of Lord Penrod and the Assembly?
No, my lord. We figured that you would...
I'm not king anymore.
I'll take care of it. You may return to your patients.
They are filling our clinic, my lord.
Then appropriate one of the empty noble mansions. There are plenty of those. Ham, send them with some of my guard to help move the sick and prepare the building.
Ham nodded and waved over a soldier.
Gather 20 on-duty men from the palace and meet with the healer.
Yes, sir.
The healer smiled, looking relieved, and bowed to Elend as he left. Ham walked up, joining Elend beside the well.
Coincidence?
Hardly. The question is, which one poisoned it?
Set just came into the city. Would have been easy to send out some soldiers to covertly drop in the poison.
Seems more like something my father would do. Something to increase our tension, to get back at us for playing him for a fool in his camp. Plus, he's got that Mistborn who could have easily placed the poison.
Of course, Set had had this same thing happen to him. Breeze poisoning his water supply back before he reached the city. Elend ground his teeth. There was really no way to know which one was behind the attack. Either way, the poisoned wells meant trouble. There were others in the city, of course, but they were just as vulnerable. The people might have to start relying on the river for their water, and it was far less healthy. Its waters muddy and polluted by waste from both the army camps and the city itself.
Set guards around these walls. Board them up, post warnings, and then tell the healers to watch with particular care for other outbreaks.
We just keep getting wound tighter and tighter. At this rate, we'll snap long before winter ends.
After a detour for a late dinner, where some talk about servants getting sick left her concerned, Vin went in and checked on Elland, who had just returned from walking the city with Ham. After that, Vin and Orisir continued their original quest, that of finding Doxon. They located him in the palace library. The room had once been Straff's personal study. Elland seemed to find the room's new purpose amusing for some reason. Personally, Vin didn't find the library's location nearly as amusing as its contents, or rather, lack thereof. Though the room was lined with shelves, nearly all of them showed signs of having been pillaged by Elland. The rows of books lay pocked by forlornly empty spots, their companions taken away one by one as if Elland were a predator slowly whittling down a herd. Vin smiled. It probably wouldn't be too long before Elland had stolen every book in the small library, carrying the tomes up to his study, then forgetfully placing them in one of his piles, ostensibly for return. Still, there were a large number of volumes left. Ledgers, books of figures, and notebooks on finances, things that Elland usually found of little interest. Doxon sat at the library's desk now, writing in a ledger. He noticed her arrival and glanced over with a smile, but then turned back to his notations, apparently not wanting to lose his place. Vin waited for him to finish, Orisir at her side. Of all the members of the crew, Doxon seemed to have changed the most during the last year. She remembered her first impression of him back in Cayman's lair. Doxon had been Kelsier's right-hand man, and the more realistic of the pair. And yet there had always been an edge of humor to Doxon, a sense that he enjoyed his role as the straight man. He hadn't foiled Kelsier so much as complimented him. Kelsier was dead. Where did that leave Doxon? He wore a nobleman's suit, as he always had, and of all the crew members, the suit seemed to fit him the best. If he shaved off the half-beard, he could pass for a nobleman. Not a rich high courtier, but a lord in early middle age who had lived his entire life trading goods beneath a great house master. He wrote in his ledgers, but he had always done that. He still played the role of the responsible one in the crew. So what was different? He was the same person, did the same things. He just felt different. The laughter was gone, the quiet enjoyment of the eccentricity in those around him. Without Kelsier, Doxon had somehow changed from temperate to boring. And that was what made her suspicious.
This has to be done.
She smiled at Doxon as he set down his pen and waved her to take a seat. Vin sat down, Orisir padding over to stand beside her chair. Doxon eyed the dog.
That's such a remarkably well-trained beast, Vin. I don't think I've ever seen one quite like it.
Does he know? Would one Chondra be able to recognize another in a dog's body?
No, that couldn't be. Otherwise, Orisir could find the imposter for her. So she simply smiled again, patting Orisir's head.
There is a trainer in the market. He teaches wolfhounds to be protective, to stay with young children and keep them out of danger.
So, any purpose to this visit?
We never chat anymore, Dox.
This might not be the best time for chatting. I have to prepare the royal finances to be taken over by someone else should the vote go against Elland.
Would a Chondra be able to do the ledgers? Yes. They'd have known. They'd have been prepared.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to bother you, but Elland has been so busy lately and says it has his project. And
it's all right. I can spare a few minutes. What's on your mind?
Well, do you remember the conversation we had back before the collapse?
Which one?
You know, the one about your childhood.
Oh, yes. What about it?
Well, do you still think the same way?
Doxon paused thoughtfully. Vin waited, trying not to show her tension. The conversation in question had been between the two of them, and during it, Doxon had first spoken to her of how much he'd hated the nobility.
I suppose I don't. Not anymore. Kel always said that you gave the nobility too much credit, Vin. But you started to change even him there at the end. No, I don't think that noble society needs to be completely destroyed. They aren't all monsters, as once presumed.
Vin relaxed. He not only knew the conversation, he knew the details of the tangents they'd discussed. She had been the only one there with him. That had to mean that he wasn't the Chondra, right?
This is about Elland, isn't it?
I suppose.
I know that you wish he and I could get along better, Vin. But all things considered, I think we're doing pretty well. He's a decent man. I can acknowledge that. He has some faults as a leader. He lacks boldness, lacks presence. But I don't want to see him lose his throne. He has treated the Ska fairly, for a nobleman.
He's a good person, Dox.
I know that. But, well, every time I talk to him, I see Kelsier standing over his shoulder, shaking his head at me. Do you know how long Kel and I dreamed of toppling the Lord Ruler? The other crew members, they thought Kelsier's plan was a newfound passion, something that came to him in the pits. But it was older than that, Vin, far older. We always hated the nobility, Kel and I. When we were youths, planning our first jobs, we wanted to be rich, but we also wanted to hurt them. Hurt them from taking from us the things they had no right to. My love, Kelsier's mother. Every coin we stole, every nobleman we left dead in an alleyway, that was our way of waging war, our way of punishing them.
Vin said quietly. It was these kinds of stories, these memories of a haunted past, that had always made her just a little uncomfortable with Kelsier and with the person he had been training her to become. It was this sentiment that gave her pause, even when her instincts whispered that she should go and exact retribution on Straff and Set with knives in the night. Doxon held some of that same hardness. Kel and Dox weren't evil men, but there was an edge of vengefulness to them. Oppression had changed them in ways that no amount of peace, reformation, or recompense could redeem.
And we put one of them on the throne. I can't help but think that Kel would be angry with me for letting Elend rule, no matter how good a man he is.
Kelsier changed at the end. You said it yourself, Dox. Did you know that he saved Elend's life?
When?
On that last day, during the fight with the Inquisitor. Kel protected Elend, who came looking for me.
Must have thought he was one of the prisoners.
He knew who Elend was, and he knew that I loved him. In the end, Kelsier was willing to admit that a good man was worth protecting, no matter who his parents were.
I find that hard to accept, Vin.
Why?
Doxon met her eyes.
Because if I accept that Elend bears no guilt for what his people did to mine, then I must admit to being a monster for the things I did to them.
Vin shivered. In those eyes, she saw the truth behind Doxon's transformation. She saw the death of his laughter. She saw the guilt, the murders.
This man is no imposter.
I can find little joy in this government, Vin, because I know what we did to create it. The thing is, I'd do it all again. I tell myself it's because I believe in Ska freedom. I still lie awake at nights, however, quietly satisfied for what we've done to our former rulers. Their society undermined, their god dead. Now they know.
Vin nodded. Doxon looked down as if ashamed, an emotion she'd rarely seen in him. There didn't seem to be anything else to say. Doxon sat quietly as she withdrew, his pen and ledger forgotten on the desktop.
It's not him.
Vin walked down an empty palace hallway, trying to shake the haunting sound of Doxon's voice from her mind.
You are certain, mistress?
He knew about a private conversation that Doxon and I had before the collapse.
Mistress, my brethren can be very thorough.
Yes, but how could he have known about such an event?
We often interview people before we take their bones, mistress. We meet them several times in different settings and find ways to talk about their lives. We'll also talk to their friends and acquaintances. Did you ever tell anyone about this conversation you had with Doxon?
Vin stopped to lean against the side of the stone hallway.
Maybe, Elend. I think I mentioned it to Sazed, too, just after it happened. That was almost 2 years ago.
That could have been enough, mistress. We cannot learn everything about a person, but we try our best to discover items like this. Private conversations, secrets, confidential information, so that we can mention them at appropriate times and reinforce our illusions.
Vin frowned.
There are other things as well, mistress. I hesitate because I do not wish you to imagine your friends in pain. However, it is common for our master, the one who actually does the killing, to torture their victim for information.
Vin closed her eyes. Doxon felt so real. His guilt, his reactions, that couldn't be faked, could it?
Damn.
Vin opened her eyes. She turned and pushed open the shutters of a hallway window. It was dark out, and the mists curled before her as she leaned against the stone windowsill and looked out at the courtyard 2 stories below.
Dox isn't an allomancer. How can I find out for certain if he's the imposter or not?
I do not know, Mistress. This is never an easy task.
Vin stood quietly. Absently, she pulled out her bronze earring, her mother's earring, and worked it between her fingers, watching it reflect light. It had once been gilded with silver, but that had worn off in most places.
I hate this.
What, Mistress?
This distrust. I hate being suspicious of my friends. I thought I was through mistrusting those around me. I feel like a knife is twisting inside of me, and it cuts deeper every time I confront one of the crew.
Orisir sat on his haunches beside her, and he cocked his head.
But Mistress, you've managed to eliminate several of them as imposters.
Yes, but that only narrows the field. Brings me one step closer to knowing which one of them is dead.
And that knowledge isn't a good thing?
I don't want it to be any of them, Orisir. I don't want to distrust him, don't want to find out that we're right.
Orisir didn't respond at first, leaving her to stare out the window, mists slowly streaming to the floor around her.
You are sincere.
She turned.
Of course I am.
I'm sorry, Mistress. I did not wish to be insulting. I just... Well, I have been Condra to many masters. So many of them are suspicious and hateful of everyone around them. I'd begun to think that your kind lacked the capacity for trust.
That's silly.
Vin turned back to the window.
I know it is. But people often believe silly things if given enough proof. Either way, I apologize. I do not know which of your friends is dead, but I am sorry that one of my kind brought you this pain.
Whoever he is, he's just following the contract.
Yes, Mistress. The contract.
Is there a way you could find out which Condra has a contract in Luthadel?
I'm sorry, Mistress. That is not possible.
I figured as much. Are you likely to know him, whoever he is?
The Condra are a close-knit group, Mistress, and our numbers are small. There is a good chance that I know him quite well.
I still don't think it's Doxin.
Vin replaced the earring.
We'll ignore him for now. If I can't get any other leads, we'll come back.
Something caught Vin's attention. A figure walking in the courtyard, bearing no light.
Ham.
But the walk wasn't right. She pushed on the shield of the lamp hanging on the wall a short distance away to close it.
Mistress?
Vin climbed up into the window, flaring her tin as she squinted into the night.
Definitely not Ham.
Her first thought was of Elland, a sudden terror that assassins had come while she was talking to Doxin. But it was early in the night, and Elland would still be speaking with his counselors. It was an unlikely time for an assassination. And only one man? Not Zane, not judging from the height.
Probably just a guard. Why do I have to be so paranoid all the time?
And yet, she watched the figure walking into the courtyard, and her instincts kicked in. He seemed to be moving suspiciously, as if he were uncomfortable, as if he didn't want to be seen.
In my arms.
She tossed a padded coin out the window. Orisir hopped up obligingly, and she leapt out the window, fell 25 feet, and landed with the coin. She released Orisir and nodded into the mists. He followed closely as Vin moved into the darkness, stooping and hiding, trying to get a good look at the lone figure. The man moved toward the side of the palace, where the servants' entrances were. As he passed, she finally saw his face.
Captain Dumo?
She sat back, crouching with Orisir beside a small stack of wooden supply boxes. What did she really know of Dumo? He was one of the Ska rebels recruited by Kelsier almost 2 years before. He had taken to command and had been promoted quickly. He was one of the loyal men who had stayed behind when the rest of the army had followed Yeadon to their doom. After the collapse, he'd stayed in with the crew, eventually becoming Ham's second. He had received no small amount of training from Ham, which might explain why he'd go out at night without a torch or lantern. But even so...
If I were going to replace someone on the crew, I wouldn't pick an Allomancer. That would make the imposter too easy to spot. I'd pick someone ordinary. Someone who wouldn't have to make decisions or attract notice. Someone close to the crew, but not necessarily on it. Someone who is always near important meetings, but someone that others don't really know that well.
She felt a small thrill. If the imposter were Dumo, it would mean that one of her good friends hadn't been killed. And it would mean that the Chandra's master was even smarter than she'd given him credit for being. He rounded the keep and she followed. However, whatever he'd been doing this night, it was already completed, for he moved in through one of the entrances on the side of the building, greeting the guards posted there to watch. Vin sat back in the shadows. He'd spoken to the guards, so he hadn't snuck out of the palace. And yet, she recognized the stooped posture, the nervous movements. He'd been nervous about something.
That's him, the spy.
But now, what would she do about it?